Alrighty. And, you know, Kendall and I, we just want to share openly, just starting out. So as we were writing this lesson, we got convicted. Mm. And we were reminded of a lot of things that we can easily forget when it comes to Jesus' heart for the poor. And I will be the first one to say that it is so, it's so easy to forget the needy around you. Mm. You know, I took a semester off at one point to try to learn this, right? To try to learn how to serve effectively. And I came back the next semester and I didn't serve for like 2 months. Wow. Right? So it's easy to forget, right? So we just want to share, we're learning this too, right? We're with you guys in this. We want to learn what it means to serve like Jesus. And we're going to learn together today. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
That sound good? Okay. And really the goal of today is to inspire you guys, not by how great we are, but just who Jesus is and what he did, okay? And we're just going to look at what do the scriptures say about service.
All right.
What did Jesus do? We don't need to reinvent the wheel, right? Jesus changed the world, and we want to do the same, amen? So we're going to look at that. Before we start, I just want to get an idea. What do you hope to take out of this class today? Could be a little thing, maybe a big thing, but you're coming here. This will be helpful for Kendall and I. What do you hope to take out of today's class? Let's get a couple hands here. Yeah.
I guess to serve my brothers and sisters in our campus group. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it can be hard for me. I'm going to school, I'm going to work, and I can tend to forget, like, they have needs that need to be met too,
right?
And as well as myself, but I guess leading by that example, just helping them, giving, like, you know, serving them by what they need.
Mm. That's awesome. Come on. Yeah, in the back.
I think kind of thinking about striking a balance, because I think that I can approach service as something that I want to feel compelled to do in my heart, but it's also a decision that I'm making in my walk with God. Mm-hmm. So learning how much of it should be a heart full and how much of it should be
awesome. Great stuff. Emma.
Yeah, I think even just reflecting on the heart of Jesus and remembering why service is so important to him,
correct,
like why he feels so passionately about it, and really understanding his heart to like better copy him, you know, follow his example in that way.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that today too. Why? Why are we doing this? Do you have any of that?
Yeah. How to have a sustainable heart for this. Mm. Heart to the poor.
Come on. Sustainability, that's huge. Any other hands? Yeah.
My commute to ministry is an hour and 45 minutes, so just figuring out how I can serve from a distance and enough energy
right
to serve.
Come on. That's awesome. Take two more. Daryl.
Yeah, just catching a big picture vision, kind of like, all right, yes, we love Jesus, we want to serve him, we want to be like him.
Mm-hmm.
So what can we do practically, kind of on a grand scheme? All right, yes, this is where Jesus would be. This is what he would be doing.
And right.
Yeah.
One more. Yeah.
This for me, because when I was reading the options, I was like, I pray, I was like, God, please speak to me to which one you want me to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt like when I read what this was about, like, I felt this Holy Spirit just
come on.
Like, this is the one you should go to. So I guess I just want to basically know why, not only why this is
personally. Yeah. That was really helpful. I appreciate all your guys' input and everything you guys said, Kendall and I are talking about, trying to figure out for our own lives. And so we're in this together. Amen? We're all in the same boat here. But let's pray and then we'll jump into the scriptures. Amen?
Come on,
amen. Father God, we are so grateful, Lord, to even know you, God. We are so grateful to be your disciples, Lord, that we even have the chance to change lives, God, to be inspired by you, Father. And Lord, we just pray today that your Spirit just moves in this room, God. Lord, you have a heart for the poor, God. And we just want to learn how to imitate your heart today, God. We want to learn just what you want us to do, God. Just speak through Kendall and I. Have us hear the words that you want us to hear, God. Please just put aside any distractions. Help us just to tune in to your Spirit right now. And just be focused, have fun, and just leave inspired, God, inspired to take what we've learned back home and just truly shake things up in our home ministries, God, and just in our own lives, Father. But we just give you this time. We just beg you that you do what you want with it, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. I'm amped. This is going to be great. So the first point, we're going to talk about what Emma was just talking about, which is why. Why do we do this? We're going to talk about the heart of compassion, right? It's not just Make sure you get to a hope event. It's not just go be a disciple and serve. It's why did Jesus do this?
Right.
We need to get to the root of this, right? We're never going to be sustainable if we just have to do list items, right? Mm-hmm. And your heart will never be invested. If there's anything I learned, it's that I need to have a root system behind why I do what I do. And to start off baseline, the gift of grace makes Christ-like compassion possible.
Yeah.
Right? If we didn't know Jesus and what he did for us, we would not be able to give in such a way, right? But because Jesus gave so much to us, we can have strength to give to other people, right? That will never go away. So if you want to talk about sustainability, Jesus and his example will never leave your life, right? You can always go back to his example. And that we're compelled by Christ, right? We are compelled by Jesus' life and God living through him. And so just a real baseline, sometimes statistics help. I don't know if you're a numbers person. So there's 89 chapters that make up the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 17 of those chapters account for the pre-ministry of Jesus, right? And then the cross. And then, so with those 72 chapters remaining, those chapters really are the bulk of Jesus' ministry, right? Mm-hmm. His time, what he did, what the disciples did. So 42 of those 72 chapters, you know what they're about? Jesus serving the poor, teaching about serving the poor, and him doing it, right?
Wow.
That's almost 60% of our account of the gospel is Jesus with the poor. And so we would be crazy to not have this be a part of our lives.
Right.
And we could leave on that note, obviously. I mean, that is just intense. It's just staggering. 60% of what someone, a random person reading the Bible, that person will leave seeing, wow, Jesus really served people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so we got to have that as a baseline. And this is a thought that always brings me back whenever I feel dull in my heart, is that if when God was on earth himself, in Jesus, God, who made everything, right? Mm-hmm. And when he was on earth, he spent time serving the least of these, then man, I should be too.
Right.
If that's who I'm following, and when he was on earth, that's what he was doing, shouldn't my life look a little bit like that, right?
Come on.
If the God who made the universe and the stars and humanity itself, when he was on earth, he served the poor. So we just got to think simple. Okay, I should probably have something in my life where I'm meeting people's needs, right? And that's what discipleship is all about. Turn over to Jeremiah chapter 22.
Come on, bro.
Verse 16. Jeremiah 22, verse 16. We're going to try to keep a good, steady pace today. We want to end on time. We also want to have a little bit of time in the end for you guys to share and do a little bit of feedback. Jeremiah 22, 16 says, he defended the cause of the poor and needy, and so all went well. Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord?
Right.
This scripture always gets me, guys. And you know, when we think about getting to know God better, we think about pretty standard things. Reading our Bibles, right? Praying, getting advice, which are all awesome things. Don't stop doing that, right? Reading spiritual books. That's how we think about, let me get to know God better. But what this scripture is saying is go serve. Is that not what it means to know me? Declares who? Declares the Lord. Right? You guys see where I'm coming from with that?
Yeah.
It's this new thinking of, I want to know who God is. Let me do what he did.
Right.
Right.
Right? Let me plunge into that. And this is a great foundation too. It's just that knowing Jesus means serving like Jesus. Mm-hmm. Right? Wanting to know God means doing what God did, and then we can actually experience how his days were. What did he do? Why did he say certain things he said? And so this is just what this first point is all about, is why. Why do we do this? What is the heart? And what is pure religion, right? We know from James to look after orphans and widows in their distress, to keep yourself from being polluted by the world. And what's pure about that, and what's pure about Jeremiah 22, is it's giving without expecting anything back. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's Jesus, his whole life, gave without expecting anything back. All the way up to the cross. He didn't know how many people were going to respond, but he did it. Right? It takes faith to serve. right? We don't know when we serve someone if they're gonna change, or if they're gonna become a Christian, or if they're gonna actually like us, right?
Right.
It takes faith to serve, right? But that's this heart. Is Jesus, man, he served without expecting anything back, right? And he let people kill him so much. That's how loving he can be, right? And so we gotta do the same. And so as we continue to talk about this heart of service, let's just remember that it draws us closer to the heart of God when we serve, who God is, right? Is that not what it means to know me and declares the Lord? And now I'm gonna let Kendall share a little bit about her experience kind of digesting this passage too.
Hey y'all, my name is Kendall, as you now know. I'm so excited to talk about this point because, like Mark said, I got convicted as we were planning this lesson. This point was his idea. And he was like, so what kind of scriptures like help you connect in your heart? And I was like, right, that's a great question. Like, I don't know that I have one on hand. I'm pretty task-oriented. And he kind of talks about that too. Like, I love to-do lists. I can look at an item on a to-do list and be like, yeah, I did it. And I cross it off, and then the type A part of me goes like, yes, that feels so good. Or I can look at it and be like, okay, no, I haven't done that yet. Like, it's been a while since I've done a Hope Project. Like, it's probably time. But thinking of the scripture he shared from Jeremiah, it didn't say, go help the poor. Because the way I see it from the scripture, God wants my heart. He says, defend the cause of the poor and needy. I love football, I love basketball. You see a weak defense that's not putting their heart into it, you're like, are you kidding me? Come on. It's upsetting. That's not wholehearted. It's weak. That's a defense you can break through. Defense requires heart. So if I want to know God, I have to live like Jesus lived. And if I want to walk a mile in Jesus' shoes, I have to put the passion in compassion. Cool. This is a heart issue. I can show up to things, and it doesn't mean anything if I'm not trying to be like God. And this made me think of a scripture in Philippians 2.
Go on.
I'm going to read verses 1 through 4.
Come on, Kendall.
The Bible says, therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing of the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit, and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. Like Mark said, that is pure. It is without self-interest, and this helps me so much. I love if-then statements in the Bible. Mm-hmm. If this is true, then do this. And I kind of wish the scripture said, if you feel this encouragement, then rejoice, because your name is in the book of heaven. Mm-hmm. But it says then, and it goes on to command me to be like-minded and one in spirit. And whose spirit is that? Christ's spirit.
Right.
So to be Christ-minded is to put the values of others first. If I want to know God, I can't serve two masters, right? So if I'm thinking of my own interests, I can know myself better. I can get in tune with myself. What does Kendall need? What does Kendall want? But if I want to know God's interests, that's how I know God. So to see God's heart for the poor and to imitate that is how I really feel like I can know God.
Man, we're rolling. This is going good, huh? That's some great stuff. You know, it's cool as we were writing this lesson too. You know, I'm sending her scriptures and she's getting convicted and she sends me Philippians. I'm like, I didn't even think about that. That's good too. And so it's been cool just to see how biblical this is. You don't got to scratch your head to try to find this conviction. It's throughout scripture. Amen. Speaking of that, let's keep looking in Luke 18. Luke 18, starting in verse 18.
On
a Bible is right. All right. The book of Luke changed my life. The book of Luke, I read it last fall semester, and you can come up to me and ask me more questions after. I read the book of Luke, and I really tried to dig into it, and I took a semester off. And I went out of my major, I switched majors, because I just felt like my life was not matching up with what I saw Jesus was doing. And I don't say that just, you know, just say, oh, look at Mark. I'm just saying that that's what the Bible does.
Yeah.
Radical Christianity does not come from inspiring lessons, crazy cool people. It's just the Bible.
Yeah.
And if we just read the Bible and we say, let me live that, people will be like, who are you? these people? Mm. Why are they living this way, right? So, speaking of Luke, let's read some Luke. Amen? Yeah. Luke 18, read about this rich young ruler.
Yeah.
By the way, we're pretty rich people.
Yes.
In the grand scheme of things. Mm. We're cream of the crop, right? Worldwide. We're some pretty rich people in here. So, let's read this. It says, a certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered, no one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a boy, he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. And drop the mic. You know, that's intense. I at first read that, I'm like, what do you do with that? Do you actually go and do you sell everything you have to the poor, right? Does that idea not go through your head as you're reading the scripture? Maybe I should do the same thing, right? And so let's just break this down a little bit here, amen? So it says, this guy asks, basically, how do I get to heaven, right? Mm-hmm. How do I get to heaven? And Jesus says, look, dude, you know the commandments? Don't try to come in here like all snobby. You've read the Old Testament. You've read the Torah. And he's like, yeah, I've kept all these since I was a boy. Look at me, right? So Jesus starts to see this heart of like, you're not really here to try to learn from me. You're just trying to justify yourself. You see that? He's just like, I've known all these since I was a boy, Jesus. And it's almost like Jesus like walking away like, there you go. You still lack one, right? You still lack one thing, right? He's like, I'm not going to let this guy get away. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have a treasure in heaven. Because what was his question? How do I get to heaven?
Right.
He says, you want to know how to have a treasure in heaven? Go give to people that need things, right?
Yep.
And this man went away sad because his wealth really hindered him from doing that. And his treasure was not in heaven. And we see Jesus doing this a lot in the gospel. And does this not already remind you of Jeremiah 22? Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? You know who's going to be in heaven? God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And when we have treasure in heaven, that means our heart is in the same place of God's heart. We're united with God in that. And this is kind of a simplified way to think about it. You want to be with God in heaven? You want to have eternal life? Answer that Jesus gives, show the poor, give everything you have to them, and then you'll have that, right? So we can just see that, very simplified. That's what Jesus is saying, and he really pricks this man's heart. I mean, imagine how this man went away. He must have been kind of thinking about his life a little bit more, right? He probably had one of those, like, raging faces, and he couldn't get words out, right? Because he knew what Jesus said was true, right? Mm-hmm. It was like the sword that the Bible is, right? And so I just want to ask you guys, what is that distraction for you? This man was wealth. Yes, we're all pretty wealthy people here in the grand scheme of things, but what distracts you? What treasures do you have that don't line up with what Jesus treasured, right? And we're just going to share some examples of that, but just kind of think about that. What do you treasure? It's crazy. Matt's already been talking about this in his lessons, right? In the main lessons about this, because we got to think about what do I really treasure in life? And do I have a heart in heaven? And so in keeping with this, let's keep going. Let's turn back a little bit to Luke 12. You guys with me?
Yeah, man.
Okay, Luke 12. These scriptures are very intertwined. Luke 12, we're going to pick up in verse 27 here. Luke 12, verse 27. Okay. I gotta remember, the Bible, when it was first made, it wasn't these chapters and verses and everything. This is very chronological, right? So Jesus is talking to this rich fool, and you know what he talks about right after he's talking to the rich guy? He says, don't worry, right? Don't worry about your life, all these things. And verse 27, he says, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you have little faith. Faith, that takes faith to serve, right? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them, right? God knows you. He knows what you need. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Mm-hmm. Do not be afraid, little flock. For your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes and no moth destroys. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Come on, dude. So, similar to Luke 18, this passage that Jesus talks about here is a response to talking with a wealthy person. You guys see that? Mm-hmm. He just talks to a rich man before this. And, you know, we know Matthew 6 really well, right? Seek first his kingdom, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing going on here. What's interesting about Luke is that he adds this other part about what Jesus is trying to say. He's like, it's not just seek first, it's give up some things too that are distracting you from being able to seek first, right? Mm-hmm. So he says, look, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? And this treasure that, he's talking about this treasure that will never fail. And what's interesting is what we read in chapter 18, Jesus says, sell everything you have and give to the poor and you'll have a treasure in heaven. And Jesus says in this passage that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Your treasure equals your heart. So if we look at these scriptures together, what is Jesus really saying here? He's saying, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you'll have a heart in heaven.
Come on.
Your heart will be invested in what God has invested. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
The first time I put those pieces together, I was like, you know, it just makes sense that my heart aligns with God when I do what he did, and my heart will be treasured in heaven. Because when I'm serving the homeless man, I don't have time to think about what I'm worried about. I'm worried about this guy because he's about to die. Right? I don't have time to be worried about these worldly things and wealth because I'm concerned about this person. Just like God is, right? Is that not what it means to know me, declares the Lord? You guys see where I'm coming from with this? This is some cool stuff. So by having this compassion like Jesus, we can be focused on the next life and not this life. Right. We can be focused on getting people to heaven, right, through service. Let's continue to dig in here. We're going to wrap out this heart point soon. But the big thing we want to take from these passages is that Jesus is saying, look, if you really want to know what it means to know me, and if you really want to live this eternal life, you got to give up this stuff.
Yeah.
You got to give up these distractions, right? Jesus, he didn't have time to go and be distracted. He was serving every day, right? He was so focused on people's needs. And guess what? That was God. That was God on earth, right? Meeting people's needs. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let Kendall share here about her response to these scriptures and finish out this point with the heart.
Thanks, Mark. Hi, guys, again. Okay, when I saw that Matt was using the scripture, people want to listen to more, like, don't get sick of the scripture. But I'm still feeling cut by it. Like, yo, Matt dug into me yesterday, and Mark did the same just now. So thinking about treasure, when I think about giving in general, I think about contribution. And like Mark said, we're pretty rich. When I give contribution every week, I don't typically feel a financial strain from it, to be completely honest.
I'm
on a meal plan, so I have unlimited swipes in my dining hall. I can go whenever I want and get some mediocre food, but still. Amen. I don't have to worry about the clothes I wear. My closet is too big. I have clothes on the floor in piles, and I'm like, wow, that's, I'm messy, I need to clean that up. But also, I have enough clothes to have a pile of clothes.
Right.
Like,
I am
wealthy in so many ways. Because it's within my ability to give contribution and, maybe buy a meal for a homeless person without the fear of poverty as a result of those things, it really caused me to think, like, money and assets are what I associate with treasure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're the same, right? When I think about treasure, I obviously think of pirates. How do the pirates get the treasure? They search the seas for months and years on end, and then there's usually a fight that ensues, and you know, it's really violent, somebody dies. Like, treasure is something that's coveted, it's something that you protect with all your being to your dying breath, because that's how much it's valued and cherished.
Mm-hmm.
And
maybe this isn't the case for everyone in this room, but I think for me, money isn't necessarily that. Money isn't my treasure. So it doesn't take faith. Like, that's not sacrificial giving for me.
Okay, come on.
So yeah, for me, again, if I put a dollar in a homeless man's cup, that's not me putting my treasure in heaven. I have to ask myself, am I giving God my heart, or am I just giving him my money?
Come on.
Wow. I don't want to throw money at a problem. I want to give my heart. So I was thinking about what my treasures are. Okay, like sometimes it's money for sure, and it can take sacrifice.
Yeah.
But I think about my peace and emotional comfort. Serving can be really emotionally stressful, and I don't want to face problems sometimes because it's hard. I'd rather sit in my room and watch Netflix because that's what makes me happy. So when I think about my treasure and what I want to defend, it's my peace of mind. It's my physical and emotional comfort. And that can be so hard. So again, I don't want to trivialize the importance of giving money to the poor. I think it's totally necessary for our cause. I'm really humbled when I consider the fact that God wants my heart, and that means sacrifice. So again, just to reference back to Jeremiah 22 and defending the cause of the poor, I can't defend a cause if I'm holding on to my treasure.
Yeah, no.
So I really believe that the world doesn't need more me. The world doesn't need more Kendall.
There's only one
of me, and that's okay.
Right.
The world doesn't need my money, to be completely honest.
Right.
The world needs Jesus, and I.
Come
that's
on.
Why I want to have that heart of compassion, so
right.
people can see Jesus by the way I serve.
Come on.
Wow.
Awesome.
Yeah. Metanoia right there.
Come on. This is so good. We're doing good on time, too. So we're talking about the heart, right? We're going to wrap up this point now. And the heart is this, is having compassion means we're knowing God's heart better, right? Jeremiah 22, having compassion means that we're going to have a treasure in heaven and a heart in heaven, and that it's more than just giving someone some food and a cup of water. It's being sanctified. It's being made more holy and becoming more into the likeness of Jesus. And who doesn't want to be more like Jesus, right? I love what Kendall just said. People don't need more Kendall. People don't need more Mark. People need Jesus.
Right.
Right. People need Jesus, and we get to be Jesus for people. Amen?
Yeah.
So let's go into the second point here, which is the call of compassion, right? This charge that Jesus gives people to be compassionate. How do you guys feel about that? You want to be called?
Yeah.
All right. Let's turn to Luke 10. Luke 10.
All right.
I know most of us know this parable of the Good Samaritan, which is a good thing. So we'll dig into it today. All right, verse 25. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Everyone's asking Jesus this question, right? What do I got to do to get to heaven, Jesus? This is a funny thing. It comes up a lot in the Bible, right? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? It's almost like Jesus, like, it's like a tape cassette. He's like, play, let's go through this conversation again. Right? How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right? Jesus just brings it back to Scripture. Right? And, you know, Jesus says, you've answered correctly. Jesus replied, do this and you will live. But the man wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, oh, and who's my neighbor? And then, I love Jesus, he goes into parable mode, you know? It's kind of like in movies where there's like a flashback to like a scene and a story that kind of summarizes what's going on. So Jesus goes into parable mode. Why? Because he's trying to help this guy understand his heart, right? But Jesus serves a parable. There's this deep eternal truth going on here, right? So, let's all listen to Jesus. Picture you're the Samaritan, you're the teacher in law, and Jesus is telling you this story, right? It says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes. They beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite. When he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, He took pity on him.
Right.
He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put this man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus said, go and do likewise. I don't know about you guys, but that story never gets old to me. I mean, I have to have a really hard heart for that not to cut when I read it, right? It's so simple. And Jesus just says, go and do likewise, right? Which is the same for us today, right? So again, this passage starts out, teacher in law, how do I get to heaven, right? Similar theme. Jesus says, look, you got the greatest commandment right, buddy. You're doing pretty good. But he says he wanted to justify himself, so he kind of asks, all right, well, tell me who my neighbor is, right? Tell me who my neighbor is. And Jesus sees again, okay, we need to have a longer conversation. We need to help him out here. So he goes into parable mode. A priest, right? Very religious person who knows the law. A Levite was someone who served in the Jewish temple. But here's what's cool about Jesus. He's like, I don't care who you are. You could even be a half-breed Samaritan. You may not even be a Jew of the Jews. But guess what? This Samaritan, he had compassion, right?
Come on.
And yeah, you're religious. Yeah, you know your Bible. But honestly, I'm going to give you an example. This Samaritan, a person you look down upon, that's my example for you.
Yeah.
And this guy, he doesn't even admit. Jesus asked him who had mercy. He won't even say the word Samaritan. He just says, the one who had mercy. Right. I mean, this guy's heart is hard, right? But you see how Jesus is purposeful there? He's like, let me use an example that you wouldn't think I'd use. But why? Because it's about the heart. It's not about your status. It's not about who you are. It's about, do you have a heart for people like I do, right? So this progress, this kind of order we see here is that pity, which pity means the feeling of sorrow and compassion caused by the suffering and misfortunes of others. So the Samaritan, he sees with the eyes of compassion, but does he just stop there?
Right.
No. His compassion leads him to actually influence this man's life. So he takes care of his physical needs. He doesn't leave him there. He takes him. He takes him back to the inn, and he makes sure that he gets healing, right? And that's just so good for us to see, is this process. It's not just a drop off and go.
Yeah, right.
It's investing in somebody,
yeah.
Right? You know, I mean, imagine if in our relationships, it was just, hey, how you doing, man? That's great. All right, great to meet you. Peace out. And it's like, where's the depth in that, right?
Yeah.
We gotta get in there with people. And I'm sure you guys have had experiences in here of someone you've served, and they don't just become someone you serve, they become your friend. They become someone who you impact their life, but they impacted your life almost more, right? When we serve people, is that we get changed too. And the Living Bible translation, in verse 36 and 37, I just like the wording of it. Jesus says, now which of these 3 would you say was a neighbor to the bandit's victim? The man replied, the one who showed him some pity. Then Jesus said, yes, now go and do the same, right? Was a neighbor to the bandit's victim, right? So who is really a neighbor? And he says, yeah, go and do the same. So we see here that Jesus isn't just trying to, he's leading by example, but he's also calling people, do what I'm doing, right? And that's for us too, today.
Yep.
Jesus is saying to us, 2,000 years later, as disciples, you too, go and do likewise, right? Go and do what I am doing. And I just want to share some just, you know, sometimes numbers aren't the most fun because it's hard to kind of wrap your mind around it,
right?
But I do think it's good to a certain point because it does help us get our perspective, right? I like stories more, but sometimes I do need numbers. And there's a great need in our world, guys. According to UNICEF, 22,000 children die each day due to poverty. 805 million people worldwide do not have enough food to eat. And just let that sink in a little bit. And this is where we got to let our hearts come into this, is that those people are not just a statistic.
Yeah.
Just like you're God's child, those people, that's a child of God. That when God sees them, they want that person, he wants that person in heaven with them. And if you put yourself in God's shoes as a father, and you think of yourself as a mother or father, and your kid is going to die, you would do whatever you got to do to get your kid alive so he can know God and then get to heaven. Because if people can't live, how are they going to know the gospel?
Right.
And how are they going to know Jesus? Right? So you think of God as a father, and that he's really calling us through Jesus in his life to go and do the same. And as we continue to talk about this call, let's just remember that go and do likewise. Go and meet people's needs. And just remember that this is who God is, and this was who Jesus was at the same time. Amen? So Kendall's going to share a little bit of a story here that kind of goes with this idea of really living out this passion. So,
yeah. I have never seen someone bleeding on the street, like, just robbed and half alive, and I pray that is not the case for any of you as well. So I was kind of thinking about, like, what does it look like to be a neighbor? So I currently go to Harvard. I'm a senior. That's in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So Cambridge, like, Harvard itself is this nice little bubble, but there are parts of Cambridge that aren't so nice. And for a long time, I didn't realize that. But there are a lot of homeless people in Harvard Square. So I'm like, what does it look like for me to be a neighbor to those people? Because all the people in the parable were near the man, but only one was a neighbor to him. So what does that really mean? So I just thought of a really recent example. There's a shelter called Y2Y. I see a lot of Boston people in the audience that have served there already. So it is a youth homeless shelter. And we are working the night shift this week, so once a week a group of us go in and we serve them dinner and we clean up after them and we just hang out with them, and it's a lot of fun. So just to break down the story, the parable, like how can I, as I serve, be a neighbor to these people? So first I see that the Samaritan came to where the man was. The other people in the story were on the other side of the street. They wouldn't even go near him.
Wow.
I can't see the needs of my community. I can't see the needs of Cambridge if I don't go to those people. So when we're going to the shelter, we're opening our hearts. We're saying, all right, show us the needs, God. Allow us to, number two, take pity. That's what the Samaritan did. And then number three, the Samaritan cared for him. And to completion, right? He's like, when I come back, I'll cover your expenses. It was a thorough thing. He really wanted to make sure that this guy was taken care of. So that's really what being a neighbor is. And I just want to talk to the women for a second. So I mentioned in the last time I spoke about some treasures that I can hold on to that keep my heart from being compassionate. But there are also a lot of excuses that I can come up with that keep me from answering the call to compassion. You know, someone's begging, I can say, oh, you don't have cash, so sorry, wow, so sorry. I'm really busy, I'm walking to class, I have my headphones on, oh, he can't see that I'm just looking right past him because I have my headphones on and I have somewhere to go, I don't really have time right now. I'm a woman, so I can fall back on that. Oh, I don't feel safe, like pulling out my wallet in front of this person, or I've crossed a street. I've done what the bad examples in this parable have done. I've avoided these things. So I want to ask the women, what is your excuse for not being a neighbor? Like, heaven forbid we say we're too busy to have compassion.
Right.
Like, I want to pray and beg God to show me how to be a neighbor. And I mentioned this before, it's so hard to want to open yourself up to the needs. But it's what we're called to. Like, this is discipleship. This is part of the mission. So I want you women to write these things down. What are your excuses? Because, you know, people ask God how to get to heaven, and he doesn't let them come at him with their excuses.
Right.
He's like, no, this is what you gotta do. So I feel so humbled and like shaken by that, and I hope that you guys can really get to the heart of what keeps you from answering this call.
Yeah. Awesome. How you guys feeling?
Good.
Good. So we got a little bit more time left here. We're going to close out this point in Matthew 25. Closing out this call from compassion. I should probably flip there too, huh? To be honest with you guys, we could read this passage and then just go leave.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so serious. This passage just is so straight up, and yeah. Jesus just kind of leaves us without response. But I got to be honest, guys. When I was writing this class, I knew this would be a passage that I'd feel iffy about just because it is so intense, and our hearts can really feel a lot from it. But I was like, if Jesus was here talking to us, he'd be saying this stuff.
Right.
Like, we can't sugarcoat this problem.
Yeah.
Amen? So let's read here, Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty, and we gave you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you?" The king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty. Oh, man. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me." They also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or go thirsty or needing clothes or sick in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Yeah. Did not expect to get choked up on that.
Thank you, bro. Good stuff.
So, he says, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." He's saying, when you serve that needy person, when you serve that homeless person, when you serve that orphan, when you serve that struggling parent, guess what? You are serving me. You're serving Jesus. And what does Jeremiah 22 say? "Is that not what it means to know me?" declares the Lord. And in this scripture calls us to action. And we need to really realize the implications of this passage. We need to be ambassadors when it comes to God's heart for the poor. Do you think Satan wants us to be serving the poor? Do you think Satan wants us to go and follow this example? You know why? Because he knows that this is how Jesus changed the world. This is how he did it. He served people. And as he served them, he gave them the gospel.
Right.
And Satan is doing everything he can for us to not go and do this. And sometimes he tells us these lies, like, "Well, serving the poor, that's something you can do, but really make sure for the most part you're in Bible studies. That's priority. Serving the poor, you ever have that, right?
Yeah.
How do I do all this at the same time, right?"
Help us out.
And it's like, guys, you can do it.
Yeah.
You can do it. You are all capable. Not just as, you know, being awesome people, which you all are, but you have the Bible, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the church, you have everything you need to live this life of compassion. And then some, right? We have everything that we need to live out this passage. But I really want that point to sink in, is Jesus says, "You were serving me." And what does Jeremiah 22 say? It says, "Is that not what it means to know me?" that when we serve like Jesus, we actually get to know the heart of God. And I've had moments sometimes, few moments where I'm serving someone and I literally have this moment like I see Jesus in them.
Mm. Yeah.
Like I look in their eyes and I see a man like Jesus who's been beaten, who's been abandoned, right? Who's been isolated, who's felt down and out. Mm. Is that not what Jesus was, right? He ended up on a cross. Mm. He was poor. God, right, made himself lowly, right? He made himself poor for us. Right, you see that? This all works together. And so I just want to close out here. We're just talking about some practicals. And all right, this is what the Bible says, right? So let's just take a deep breath. Let's just take a little. Woo! All right, that's some good stuff. So now we got to think action. What will this look like for us going back home? You guys want to talk about that?
Yeah.
All right, Mark, that was great. Kendall, that was awesome.
Thanks.
What are we going to do, right? What does this look like? And that's what we want to talk about right now. And so Kendall's going to share some things practically, and then I'll share, and we'll close out, and maybe we'll have time for some Q&A. Sound good?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it.
All right, thanks so much, Mark. All right, I don't know if y'all have heard of Humans of New York, probably.
Yeah.
It's a blog.
Yeah.
We take pictures of people on the street, all different kinds of people. It's really cool, and they have, like, a blurb about their lives or a quote from something they've said. And there was a critique. Someone wrote an article that Honey essentially promotes this cavalier consumption of people. Mm. You see someone's story, and now they have the like feature on Facebook. You can do the sad face, and then you move on, right? And I mean, I think Honey's a great blog. I'm not criticizing it, but I think, yeah, someone's question about sustainability, I can get hard-hearted totally to the needs of this world. Or on the opposite end of the spectrum, I can get overwhelmed and depressed. And I'm like, there's so many problems, like, what do we do? So,
yeah.
Here's some things that I try to do. Pray for wisdom and effective service. I don't know if y'all have ever done this, but I've showed up to service projects and, like, haven't prayed for it. And I get so embarrassed. I'm like, that's shameful. Asking questions like, what are the needs of my community? Can I help with what's already being done, either in your Hope chapter or in your neighborhood? It doesn't have to have a hope stamp on it for us to get involved. And if nothing's being done, who can I ask to help me?
Right.
Like, I'll take initiative on this. I'll do it. Another thing that I've really been trying to focus on praying for is asking for the humility and the courage to serve. And the third practical I want to talk about, I have the awesome privilege of serving on Hope's National Youth Advisory Council, NIAC for short. Look us up on Facebook, Instagram. Hit us with a follow right quick. And our mission is to initiate youth-led service and to engage the high school and campus students across the country in the work that Hope does. So I won't harp too much on that. But I feel like I've gotten to learn so much from those experiences and from all the awesome classes and the Hope people I've had the opportunity to meet. But like, that means nothing. This is something we can all do. We all, like, we talked so long about having the heart to serve. So talk to everyone. Everyone has valuable experience. Everyone has valuable input, and we all have different, like, hearts. Like, I really care about food insecurity, and Mark really cares about the fact that people don't have jackets to wear in the winter when it's cold. Like, everyone has different interests, and we can all use them to meet needs. Talk to your Hope chapter director if you have one. Talk to your friend in class. Non-disciples have interest in serving people too.
Come on.
Engage with your brothers and sisters. This is something for all of us, and we can really spur each other on to serve God in this way. And I just want to share very briefly to close out. Boston just had, we call these events that the NIAC helps plan, Signature Youth Service Days. We had this awesome event where a sister named Destiny and some other people wanted to have a coffee house. So it was evangelistic in the sense that they were singing songs and doing spoken word about God. But we talked about what does it mean to know God. The first scripture, one of the first scriptures we read. Yeah. So we had a fundraiser. All the food and the coffee that we sold, the proceeds went to Hope youth programs. So I think
both for both the disciples and the visitors, it was a great opportunity for them to know God by getting to hear the word and hear people's hearts for God, but getting to see it in action too. So I hope those are helpful.
Amen. 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 That's super helpful. You know, I just want to lift up Kendall. She has really been just a catalyst when it comes to serving people. I mean, when I thought about who would be good to do this class with, immediately she came to mind because she lives it out. Right, and that's what we need to be. We just need to live it, right? It's not about us. It's about Jesus. And I think those are some great examples. NIAC is amazing.
Woo!
Hope Worldwide is amazing. We all know that, right? Oh, my goodness. I mean, I could brag about Hope for a week. I mean, how grateful should we be that we have a nonprofit to work with for Hope Worldwide?
Yeah.
That we can make this thing amazing, right? The older we get. It's awesome. Another thing. Become a Hope Worldwide club on your campus. You know, Matt and I are in William Patterson. We took a lot of persecution when we tried to become a campus ministry club, and it was tough. And we took a break from trying to become a club for a year, and this semester we came back, wrote a new constitution. I mean, we worked on this thing for a long time and got advice, and it's called Hope Worldwide Club. And I just want to encourage you guys with a quick story about this process, and then we'll close out with some Q&A. So we go in with our constitution, and we're nervous because we're like, last time these people like did not like us. Like they shut us down. They're like, no, thank you. You're not going to have an Alpha and Omega club here. So we're thinking that. We get there, first meeting, flying colors, pass, right? They're like, yeah, you want to serve this campus? Do it. Go do it. You're faith-based. You're not faith-biased. Okay, that's awesome. Go and do it, right? So that was already like, we actually might be able to do this thing.
Yeah.
Second meeting, we go on. That's where they get into the nitty-gritty. Like, why are you different than other clubs? What makes you special? And that's when you can start to have that conflict. And we just said, look, you guys don't have Hope Worldwide. Hope Worldwide's amazing. And Hope Worldwide will bring service to your campus and lead service on your campus. Just straight up. Go look at Hope's website. Great, check it out, right? We did that. And I went on a rant. Like, I probably talked too long talking about it. And Brianna and I just kind of sat there. We were like ready for the questions. Like, yeah, bring it. We got answers for you. No one asked any questions.
Mm.
They're like, we're going to take a vote. All right. 5-0. Five yeses, zero noes.
Wow.
And we should be becoming clubs in the next couple weeks.
Yes.
Wow.
Right? Amen.
But
yeah,
God wants that for your campus.
Right.
And this is the crazy part about the story. There was a girl that was supposed to be in the room taking a vote on this who does not like us. Let's just put it that way. She doesn't like us. There's not a lot of good reasons for that, but amen, people got to grow. She's on attendance for this meeting, and we're like, oh, man, we're not going to make it. And she wasn't there. She didn't come. She didn't come. So they were like, oh, not here. And Brielle and I were just like, come on. One step in the right direction. So God works. He wants us to serve. He'll do what he needs to do.
Yeah.
You guys have those opportunities. But now it's crazy because we might have a budget as a club to go and serve the school. Right?
Right.
We have a room. We've been meeting in a hallway to do discussions for 3 years now. We're rented out our room, right? Like, God wants to do things, and a club on your campus is a great way to do it. That's a good example. And I think another great thing that Kendall said is ask people in your region that you feel like are really going after this. For me, that's Dave Mitchell. He amazes me.
Wow.
Yeah.
He amazes me. And I even get emotional talking about him. But he has dropped everything to meet the needs of the poor and me. He just has. So think about those people in your region that you feel like are doing that. And if there isn't, then guess who's going to be that? You, right? You got to step up. You got to do that. So just to close out here, to wrap up our points, when we connect with God's heart of compassion, and then when we go into our communities and pass on this compassion, people will take notice. And you know they're going to ask, why? Why do you do what you do, right? And you know what our response is going to be? Call me Jesus.
Yeah.
I do this because I'm a disciple of Jesus, right? Don't hide your light under a cup.
Come on.
Let it shine. Let people see it, right? And when the world sees the kingdom of God bringing heaven on earth, healing on earth, they are going to want in. They are going to want in. When they see a community healed, they're going to ask, what are you doing? And that's when people can become Christians. It's like,
right.
Well, it's because of Jesus. Do you want to know about Jesus, right? It's not necessarily cold contact evangelism, But it's the full ministry of Jesus, right? Teaching, we're teaching people, we're preaching, and we're healing.
Yeah.
And that's what Jesus did, and that's what we got to do as disciples, right? We want to know our Bibles well, then we want to live that out and bring healing, right? Amen?
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Let's just give it up for you guys. This is awesome. And right now is just some, you know, time, just 5 minutes for some Q&A. And also, if you feel like you have a deeper question, we can talk afterwards, and Kendall
Please,
and I'll
yeah.
feel free to talk to you guys. And again, we're learning this stuff too.
Yeah.
Like, this is just like scratching the surface, you know. I haven't even read more than a book on this type of thing. I'm not like seasoned in this area. But the Spirit can work. So let's just throw out some questions, or just thoughts, too. Questions or thoughts, yeah.
Hi.
How's it going?
So I guess, have you guys, within your combined experience of serving the poor in many different aspects, is there a certain activity in which you guys have served where you've seen the best turnout of people who don't believe in Jesus but want to help serve, the best, I guess, format or setting in which you said, hey, we're going to go help people, and everybody was kind of on board with that?
Yeah.
I think fundraisers are really cool. So, sorry for the NIAC plug. The NIAC has its first junior council, so it's like junior high students, because normally it's just been high school and college, and my little brother's on it. So he just did Hoops for Hope out in Cleveland.
Yeah.
He invited his whole basketball team. Like, I think that's what I was kind of trying to get at when I was talking about people's different interests. Like, we all have different interests in terms of the needs that we want to fix, but I think fundraisers are really cool because you can take your favorite hobby and make it a service project.
Okay.
So that's one quick practical. Yeah, like, I feel like there were as many people who weren't Christians there as there were Christians, and they were giving their money, and my little brother's being evangelistic that way. He's 14 years old. So there's one idea.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Do Jam Quest too. Jam Quest hoops tournament.
Yeah.
A lot of dudes want a ball. A lot of girls want a ball too.
What?
On the campus. Jam Quest is basically it's a basketball tournament. You know Nick Shaw?
Yeah.
You can hit him up about it. But he's trying to get them going in other regions too. But I know Philly did one, and they had like hundreds of visitors, you know, just that wanted to play. And, you know, people out there do have a heart for people, you know. Of course we do, but you don't have to be a disciple to really have a heart for people, right? So people will just see, hey, we want to raise money for a school in Kenya, I'll play some basketball, right?
Yeah.
So that's one.
Like the homeless shelter we serve at that I mentioned, it's run by students mostly at my school. So like we bring disciples there. Like we can serve in our communities. Again, it doesn't have to be a hope thing. Bring the disciples to the non-disciples is better.
Cool. Any other questions, thoughts? Come on, there's gotta be one. There's gotta be one of you guys that are thinking about some question or a thought. Yeah. We had to figure that out for us too, and we're still working on that, how to word that. Basically what we said is this, is for club membership, you have to come to at least two service events within the semester, right? Hopefully we'll have more than two in the semester, but those events is what people should be going to for membership. We will have scriptural discussions every week, but in order to be a member of the club, you don't need to be at those, right? That's more so if you want to find out more about this faith-based part of Hope Worldwide, being inspired by scriptures, feel free to go to that. But if you don't, come and serve on our events, right? And so we might even change the name. We're trying to figure out a name, but we might keep it Bible Talk, but just something that, and in our discussions, we want to talk about that aspect of Jesus, right? So every week, we will have a discussion based on scripture. But our focus as a club is serving people. So if you want to be a part of Hope Worldwide Club, come and serve with us. I don't know if that helps a little bit.
Yeah.
And then people don't have to be pointing fingers like, oh, but they're telling me to be, it's like, we're not telling you to be a Christian. We're just living out our faith.
Yeah.
And we live in America, we can live out our faith, right? We're hope worldwide, right? And you know, we didn't have to say that in the meeting even, that's what we said. We just said, well, those discussions, they're open to people, but you don't have to come. But if you want to have club membership, you need to come and serve. So, any other questions or thoughts? Yeah.
Well, just a thought. Mark and I have been working on an idea for over a year, and then to see what God had in mind with this Hope Club. It's like we've been throwing these ideas around, kicking it around. Hey, how are we going to do this? How are we going to do this? What you have to do is have the heart, and God will take care of it. So if you've been cut today, if you've been feeling like, man, I've got to, if this is 60% of the gospel, then, you know, where am I at? If you've had a heart change, then God will take care of it. Yeah. Not to say that I've arrived. I'm just saying that, you know, I'm impressed and I'm excited to see what God is doing over Holy P, and that, you know, I want to jump in there and help.
This is a great point. That's a great point to end on, too. You know, if you guys have the scriptures, you have a heart, and God will bless that.
Yeah. Yeah.
God will bless that, and then some. And just pray, God, just blow my mind.
Yeah.
Just blow my mind with what you want to do with my life and on my campus. And even if it's just you're just going to go once a week and serve at a food bank or once a month, amen. That's awesome. That's people you can meet, right? But God will lead you there.
Yeah.
I never expected to take a semester off and go do these things. Like, the Bible did that, right? And Christianity did that. So you guys are in an awesome spot. I'm just inspired by this time. I don't know about you, but I needed this, and Ben and I both needed this. So let's just give it up, and then it's free time. It's free time now. Till later tonight. So yeah.
Very well.
So I'm in Syracuse, and we've tried to do the Alpha Omega thing, which didn't work.
Right.
And then we tried to do the whole club and everything.